And you say, Wayne, you know I'm a Christian, but I tell you, I have not gone over that center point. Oh, I see God as just maybe a means to bless me. Just bless me, bless me, bless me. He's like a vending machine. And I put in 25 cents worth of prayer and pull the handle so he blesses me. And God says, no, you've got to trust me regardless of the results. But when you do, there's a rest that comes to your soul.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship. Today, part two of a message we began yesterday, a message from Pastor Wayne's Home Remedy series entitled Insomnia, Bible Tips for a Silent Night. If you struggle at night with a troubled mind, if you can't find a comfortable spot in the bed and the pillow feels like a giant rock, reach over and turn your radio up just a little louder. Today's message is for you. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled Insomnia, Bible Tips for a Silent Night.
When we take care of something with the Lord, He forgets. He just doesn't remember. That's how far He removes iniquity from us. And in the same way, if we're going to be people of rest, then we need to learn to keep short accounts. To just say, no, I'm not going to bring it back to my remembrance. I'm just going to not do that. You see, when God created this memory bank, this bank holds memories. And it is almost the opposite of the bank downtown that holds money. You see, here is the opposite. The bank downtown, when you put money in, it strengthens your account. And when you withdraw money, it weakens the account. But in the opposite, the way God created our minds is when memories are logged in, when you withdraw memories, it strengthens the account. And if you refuse to withdraw memories, it weakens the account until it vaporizes the thing completely. And so God is saying, if you want to forget, stop withdrawing. And it vaporizes. It's like a language. If you learned a language when you were younger or some years ago in high school, you took, say, Spanish or something, but you don't use the language. The less you use the language, the more you what? Remember it? No, the less you withdraw vocabulary out of that memory bank, the less you use it, the more you what? Forget it, right? So after not withdrawing any of the vocabulary or words, after some years, even if you try to remember, you cannot because it has vaporized. That's how God created the mind. And so God is saying, when there is something that takes place, don't keep withdrawing that memory and talking about it and spreading it around. Because then it becomes strong. It strengthens that event, or it strengthens that account. The account of what took place gets stronger the more you withdraw and talk about it. Then it becomes what the Bible calls gossip. And actually it then takes on a life of its own that becomes even more devastating than the actual account itself. And it strengthens it. And so God says, don't keep withdrawing it and meditating and talking and spreading it around. Just stop withdrawing it. And when it says, well, what about? Just say, no, I'm just not going to talk about it, not going to remember it. I'm just going to put it back at the cross and deposit it there. And after a while, it weakens and weakens and weakens until it vaporizes. Learn to forget. Learn to discipline your mind. To forget where until it becomes not necessarily a characteristic of age, but a characteristic of God. Well, God puts these laws into motion so that we cooperate with them. And one of the things God wants us to remember, and this is a Bible tip for a silent night, is that the laws God gives to us, would you write in number two? He wants us to learn to obey them gladly. Would you write that in? Obey gladly. Learn to obey gladly. You see, God put these laws into motion, and when we cooperate with them, we're fine. You violate them, you mess up. Sort of like the laws that God puts into motion of whether it be sexual sin or grumbling, gossip, anger, bitterness, hatred, jealousy, strife. God says, when you violate my laws of forgiveness or unity or whatever it might be, then the slapback, the consequence, begins to destroy you. And God pursues us to deliver us from that so that we learn to cooperate with his laws gladly. So God's ways are not something I fight with. It's something I receive and live with gladly. For example, there's the physical law of gravity. That law is working for us right now. You're sitting where you are because of gravity. And as I'm talking, I don't have to look for you floating all over the auditorium, getting stuck in the little crevices and tiny cracks. No, gravity works for us. On the other hand, if you get up on the auditorium's ceiling, or the roof rather, and take a nosedive onto the concrete lanai, that law that works for you, because I choose to violate, will now work against me. Now, I get up with a broken nose, and I can't say, oh, God, I hate that law. That's a stupid law. Look what it did to me. I can't stand it. I want to do whatever I want to. It's so hard to follow you. Now, if someone said that, you know what would happen? They would take him away in a white strap coat to Kahimohala. That's crazy. But though we understand that about daily laws, we don't understand that about life. And God would say to us today, I know how I created you, and I put laws in motion about loving one another and forgiving and not allowing bitterness to take hold of you. Not because I just want to rain on your parade and say you can't do that. No. And when you want to do a have a sexual sin or this relationship that's illicit or this drug, God is saying, don't do that, not because he wants to rain on your parade, but because he knows when we have sin unresolved in our life, it kills us. It was illustrated in 1981. Thousands of cars are stolen every year, and especially in the state of California, but in 81, one car theft made headline news of all of the community's papers, and it took up more airtime on the evening news than any other subject for that evening. Why did this one violation get so much airtime? I'll tell you why. Because the owner of the car that had been stolen quickly reported to the police that on the front seat of his car that was stolen was a box of crackers that had been laced with poison. You see, the reason was this man was about to go up to his cabin that he had in the mountains, and he was having some rat problems, so he was going to use that as bait for the rats. And it was laced with poison, and when he went into his house to get something that he had forgotten, his car was stolen. And so what was happening was the police were desperately trying to find the thief, not in order to punish him, but in order to what? Save him. And so it was going out in a radical pursuit, all points bulletin. And in the same way, our Heavenly Father pursues us. No, not necessarily to punish us, but because he knows the poisonous effects of sin, he wants to save us and our families from going to the final consequences of thinking it's okay to violate God's ways and his laws. And if we'll understand why God put these things into effect and why he pursues us when we violate them, it's not to punish us, to save us from the poisonous effects of sin, then we understand why God says, learn to obey my laws gladly, because even if you don't know, he does. And when he grabs your hand and says, don't do it, we don't fight against him because we trust God And we say, Lord, you know much better than me. And we don't do that. You see, God pursues us to save us, not to punish us. Someone said it this way. We are not punished for our sins. We will be punished by our sins. And we've seen the effects of that in families and in homes all over Hawaii and all over America. Some of you may be running even from God right now. Because like that car thief, there's unresolved sins and we violate God's laws and we continue to do so. Though nobody sees it, it's taking its toll on our families. And what you may not realize is what you feel as a conviction is God radically pursuing you, not to condemn you, but to rescue you. And so God calls us to obey His laws gladly because they were written for our benefit. Let's read what the scripture says about His laws under number 2. Would you read with me? Go. When you walk about, they will guide you. When you sleep, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk to you. For the commandment is a lamp, and the teaching is a light. And so God says, respect my ways and respect the things of God, even if you don't understand. And the word to respect deeply is the Bible word fear, or to fear the Lord. That's what it means to respect. Isn't it true when you're with someone that you respect highly, you will act differently? You'll think before you say things. And God says, if you will allow me, I will come into your life, but I won't make a difference until you show deep respect and it'll actually change you. The fear of the Lord isn't because God wants to be someone on this pedestal as much as He says, if you'll recognize my presence and the fear of God enters your soul, it will change you. Would you read with me the next scripture and you'll see what I mean? Ready? Go. The fear of the Lord leads to life so that one may sleep satisfied, untouched by evil. Isn't that wonderful? And so God says, even when I say no, you need to learn to rest fully in me. And you need to not just see me as someone who might just give you advice to take or leave. Sooner or later, you have to decide, are you going to live primarily to please self or man, or are you going to lean fully on Him? You see, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 is a classic scripture. And it says this, and it'll come up on the screen. Let's read it together. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. How much of your heart? All your heart. Let's continue. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. To lean on the Lord and to trust Him with how much? All our heart. And not lean on ourselves. God is saying that sometimes we lean just enough on the Lord to make sure that He blesses us. But if He doesn't come through, I'll take over from here, God. And God says, no, you'll never understand the rest that I have for you. In order to illustrate that, I'm going to ask Mike to come out. Mike, would you come out? And Mike is going to help me. Would you stand right about here, Mike? Now, Mike is a big construction man, just almost as big as I am. And so I'm going to use him as an illustration of the Lord. Now, I'm going to lean on you, Mike, so stand strong, brother. All right, okay. Now, sometimes we lean on God just sort of enough so that I'm looking like I'm leaning on Him, but if He moves, I can catch myself. But I'm leaning on Him just enough so that it looks kind of like I am. But even though I'm leaning on Him like this, saying, God, I'm leaning on You, but if You don't come through, I'll take it from here. Now, I am leaning on Him, but right now, my right leg is really getting tired, and this side of my body is stiff. Because I'm ready to jump up just in case I need to. Now, some of us lean on God in that way. To say, Lord, I'll lean on You so it looks good. But if You don't come through, I'm going to do it my way, thank You. But you know what happens? There is no rest to your soul. There's no rest because there's a weariness on the inside. And it's hard. And we say, it's so hard to walk with God. It's so hard to trust in God. The reason is we haven't gone over that halfway point of no return where we lean so fully on Him that we trust Him with all our heart. But then and only then will rest come. I'm going to lean on you completely now. All right? Okay. So if you move, I'm hash. Okay. All right. Okay. Now, this time, I'm going to lean completely on Him. Now, if He moves, I fall, but I trust Him. Now, at this point, I can lean and just get some nice rest, right? Now, I can stay here all day because now I've gone over the halfway point and there comes a rest. But I've got to trust Him with all my heart. But that's the secret of rest in the Lord. Would you say thank you to Mike? And you see, sometimes we may be saying that indeed we're a Christian, but we don't lean fully on Him. And there comes a weariness to our soul because we sort of fear man. Let's read the scripture. Ready? Under three. Go. The fear of man will prove to be a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is kept safe. So would you write in number three, learn to rest fully. Learn to rest fully. Let's read Matthew 11. Ready? Go. Come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you shall find rest for your soul. Stop there and underline that. Because a lot of times our weariness is not necessarily physical. It's that there's no rest in our souls. And let's finish it off. For my yoke is easy and my load is light. There's only one way, the Bible says, to find true rest. You can sleep, but if you don't come to Him, then you will have weariness in your soul. And many times, that's the reason for the anxiety and the struggles. It's not that I don't get an 8 hours. It's just that there's weariness in my soul, and my soul is not at rest. There's some of you that are here today and your soul is weary because you've never yet accepted Jesus Christ. You see, when the Lord comes to save us, some people say, save from what? Save us from the poisonous consequences of sin. That God pursues us. And when we give Him our heart with all of its brokenness and mistakes, wounds, when the Bible says, give your heart to Jesus, He then is able to give you His heart. And so you still look the same, but little by little you start to change because you see things with a different heart. You hear things with a different heart. You react with a different heart. But that only happens when you come to Him. And He says, come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you my rest. If you've never done that, do that today. And if you're here as a Christian and you say, Wayne, you know I'm a Christian, but I tell you, I have not gone over that center point. Oh, I see God as just maybe a means to bless me. Just bless me, bless me, bless me. He's like a vending machine. And I put in 25 cents worth of prayer and pull the handle so He blesses me. And God says, no, you've got to trust me fully, regardless of the results. But when you do, there's a rest that comes to your soul. See, sometimes we say, well, I'll only find rest when people like me. Well, when I get this and get that, that will never bring you rest. The only way that I'll find the source of rest is when I lean fully on Him who is the Lord of the Sabbath rest. And if you're a Christian, you say, yeah, that's true. It's pretty hard following God. It's so easy for me to just to go the other way. And it may be just because of that. I haven't really leaned on him. Would you pray for me that the Lord will give me the courage to lean fully on him, because indeed he is worthy to be trusted. Do you agree?
I believe, I'll obey.
You've just heard the conclusion of a message entitled Insomnia, Bible Tips for a Silent Night. In a moment, Pastor Wayne will be back with a closing prayer.
Lead me, I will go. I entrust my life to you. I entrust my life to you. I believe, I'll obey. I receive all of the joy.
Once again, here's Pastor Wayne with a closing prayer.
Let's bow our heads. And if you are here today and you'd say, you know, Wayne, I got to do that. You know, there is a weariness in my soul, and I can go to sleep, I can do this, I can do that, but still there's something missing. And I know that I've got to exchange my heart for his. The Bible says if we'll confess that we're a sinner, and confess our sins, he'll be faithful and just to forgive us our sins and exchange our sin for his forgiveness. But we've got to come to him. Come to me, all ye who are weary and heavy laden. Not just to a church or to a religion, but to the person of Jesus Christ. And then there will be a rest. Not just a rest from our labors, but a rest in our labors. A confidence, a poise, a sense of assurance, and that only comes when we exchange our heart for his. If you're here today and you'd say, you know, I need forgiveness, and I've got some stuff in my past that I can't undo, but I know that if I will exchange my heart for his, he will take it, and he will give me a new beginning, because God knows I need a new beginning. And that's what it means to receive Jesus Christ. And what some people will say, to get saved. What does that mean? Well, that means that God is pursuing you, but not to condemn you, to save you from the poisonous effects of sin. Well, you say, well, I need that. And all you have to do is ask. And if you'll ask, the Bible says you'll receive. Is your heart willing? Yeah, it is. Then tell him so. And you can do that right now by just lifting a hand. And in doing so, you're saying yes to Jesus. Lord, would you do that? Would you do that right now? Just raise a hand if that's you. And you'd say, yes, Jesus, would you come into my heart? Yeah, okay, yeah, all right. All right, you too, yeah. Okay, up front, the side, yeah, in the back. Okay, yeah. You can put your hands down. You might be someone that said, you know, Wayne, I'm a Christian, but you're right, I have yet to go over that center point and lean on Jesus Christ. I kind of use him as sort of a vending machine, a religious vending machine. But when I want to do things on my own, I do it. I rationalize it out. But that's not a relationship with God, is it? It's using him. But I know that ultimately I need a relationship with Jesus Christ that's genuine. So would you pray for me that I would receive the courage to lean fully on him and trust him with all my heart, because then and only then will I experience the rest that he promises. Would you pray for me? And if that's you, would you raise your hand and say, Lord, give me the courage to go over that center line, to lean on you fully. Yeah. You can put your hands down and reach out to the person next to you on either side, would you please? And we're going to pray. Pray as a family. Pray this after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Lord Jesus, thank you that you came to die for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. I exchange my heart
to receive yours. Come into my life and change me from the inside out. I trust you with all of my heart. Help me to do that every day. And now I say this so you can hear me, so I can hear myself, so these around can hear, so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Savior. I belong to Him. In Jesus' name I pray. And Lord, that's our prayer. Thank you for hearing us, guiding us, saving us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you say God bless you to these who made that decision for the first time? Wow.
Words of New Hope is sponsored by New Hope Christian Fellowship. Thank you for listening, and God bless.